Praise God. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 5 and then verse 8. In verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He's talking about three things here, three things that they would experience on the day of Pentecost. And we're still experiencing those things. Those things are still happening to us today. First of all, he said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then he said, you'll receive power, and then you'll be witnesses. So let's take a look at those three things really quickly here. Verse 5, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The word baptized in the Greek means total submersion and immersion. To be totally submerged. When you see somebody baptized in water, you see them going down into that water and they are completely submerged. Well, that's what he's talking about here, but except we're talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I mean completely and totally submerged into the Holy Spirit. It also means completely filled to the point of overflowing. There's an overflowing point. And you know what? It tells us also in the book of Ephesians that we should be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing experience that you and I can have every single day of our lives, being filled up to that point of overflowing. But talking about baptism, let me give you an idea or an illustration of this being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was very close to my grandfather, and especially in the summertime, every morning we'd get up, I'd have breakfast with him, and he would have a huge, huge mug of coffee. And with his huge mug of coffee, he would have donuts. And you can imagine what he would do with those donuts. My grandfather would baptize the donuts in the coffee. He would dunk that donut, and I would just sit there in wonderment looking at this process. And he'd dunk about half of that donut into the coffee, and then he'd pull it out, and then he'd put it in his mouth, and he'd go, because it was so saturated with coffee. He baptized his donut. That's the same thing that happens to us. We get baptized, though, not in coffee, although some of you do get baptized in coffee, but we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So you shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, you shall receive power. Say power. The word power in the Greek is dunamis, and we get our word dynamite or dynamo from it. It's powerful. It is an explosive power. We see this illustrated with the woman with the issue of blood. And when she came to Jesus, she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment and something happened. Something took place. That was a point of contact that she had with Jesus' prayer shawl. She released her faith for the healing of her body, but something else took place also in Jesus. And it says, in Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Power had gone out of him. That's the same word there. Power, when it says you shall receive power, that dunamis power that went out of him, and he turned around in the crowd. He said, who touched my clothes? So he knew he had that power operating on the inside of him. And when she grabbed hold of that garment, he could sense that power flooding through him. Well, that same power is available to us. That same miraculous power is available to you and me. So on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They received power. And he said, you shall be my witnesses. Well, a witness is one who produces evidence and proof. That's what a witness does. And it says in Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were demonstrating that power, demonstrating that dunamis. They were filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then they started to go out and do the same things that Jesus did. Now, today, you and I demonstrate irrefutable evidence and proof that Jesus is alive. Yes. we demonstrate that proof and that his resurrection life is flowing through us. It says in the book of Romans, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within us and is making alive our mortal flesh. That same resurrection life flows through us into the lives of other people. So we're to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We are to receive power. We are to be witnesses of that. And it says, let me read this to you from 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul was writing, he said this, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration," say demonstration, "in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Dunamis. The explosive dynamite power of God flowing through him, he would preach the word and then there would be demonstrations of what he was preaching. The same thing happened in Mark 16, 20. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word through accompanying signs, or the word signs there in the Greek are wonders and miracles. So they were told by Jesus to go out to preach the word and these signs and wonders would follow. And the same thing happened to them. That's what you and I are to do today with the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the power of God resident on the inside of us. Wherever we go, we are demonstrators of that power. Here's a translation of Acts 1:8. Let me read it to you. "When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you shall receive power, virtue, miracle ability, and supernatural energy for a specific purpose. You will be enabled to give absolute evidence and miraculous proof of my resurrection." You see the connection with the resurrection, the Holy Ghost and the connection with the resurrection. The resurrection took place, and then 50 days later, day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit came on them. Well, it goes on to say that power in you, say the power in me, the power in you will actually demonstrate and exhibit the proof of your testimony so as to verify your claims as with documented credentials. You are to exhibit this supernatural evidence of my resurrection in your cities, country, the inner and hidden parts of the earth, even to the remote and last frontier of civilization. So the Holy Ghost, he said that power would come on you for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. Pentecost was the celebration of Jesus' victory and of Satan's defeat. That day was noted as celebration. Jesus had victory over Satan, and Satan's defeat was sealed. And on that day, Satan witnessed what was going on there on the day of Pentecost. He was seeing things that were taking place. And that morning when he woke up, he did not realize that he was waking up to his worst nightmare. What he was about to see and what he was about to experience was something that would put him down for the rest of his life. And we should remember that. We should know that. What did Satan see on the day of Pentecost? Let me share some things with you. First of all, he saw the birth of a new race of believers. The birth of a new race of kings and priests, of overcomers who are able to stand against the evil one and win. He saw the beginning of the New Testament church. Pastor Duane and I were talking about this before service, in between service, and he mentioned to me, and I wrote this down, Satan saw an unconquerable army that struck fear into he and his cohorts. The church is a place that should strike fear into the powers and the principalities and the rulers of darkness. We should be those people. We should be like John Osteen once said, when we wake up, the devil should say, "Oh no, he's up again." You are armed and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness because of that resurrection life. He saw people recreated in the image of God. What Satan was seeing that day, he was seeing people being transformed, and they were looking just like Jesus. They were putting on the armor of God, and he was seeing this whole army of people rising up, looking like the image of God, beginning to speak words of faith. And he was seeing that he was totally defeated. It was multiplying. I mean, you've seen those movies before. You've seen movies before where they have these creatures that are computer generated, and all of a sudden they begin to multiply, and they multiply, and they multiply, and somebody will try to strike them down, and then they multiply again, and they multiply again. That's exactly what the devil was seeing that day on the day of Pentecost. He was seeing Jesus multiply and multiply and multiply. And now the church is the image of God. And what he saw on that day, he's seeing to this very day. So people were recreated in the image of God. He saw them receive eternal life. Eternal life. Isn't it good to know, as a believer in Christ Jesus, Spirit-filled believers, we have eternal life to look forward to. And eternal life doesn't begin when we go to heaven. Eternal life, we're in it right now. We're in it right now. I'm telling you, it is just a step over, just a step on over into the eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it is something to behold, to see the death of a saint, to just transition, to just go on over, to just go to that place. But we are experiencing the effect. The eternal life effect is being experienced on each and every one of us right now. Say, I take it. I take it. We call it the Eden effect, the eternal life effect, the resurrection life effect. Put your hand over your heart right now. Say this after me. In Jesus' name, resurrection life is in me. The devil is defeated. And we're rising up as the church, the body of Christ. They saw their sins wiped out as though they had never existed before. They saw the power and the person of the Holy Spirit enter into their hearts. He saw the tears he had caused turn to joy. He saw fear and doubt replaced with faith, love, and freedom. Oh, it's good to be free. It's good to be free. It's good to know that what Satan saw that day, he saw the defeated and the oppressed now becoming masters over Satan and his kingdom. He saw that. He saw slaves shake off their chains and prisoners set free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Because of what happened in the pit of hell. What Jesus did there. And the day of Pentecost. I am free. Shout hallelujah, somebody. He saw right before his eyes, his reign of terror was over in the face of the kings and the priests. How many kings and priests in the room today? Let me see your hands. Kings and priests. He saw all authority in heaven and earth delegated to believers. That authority was delegated to us. We have authority over sickness and disease and fear. We've got authority over our own bodies. We have authority over what the devil, whatever the devil can throw our way. We have dominion and authority over that. And he saw the righteousness of God become a reality. He saw people be made the righteousness of God. People who no longer had to live under that curse of sin and condemnation and inferiority. But now, being righteous, being made righteous, we were made right. We were made right in him and he in us. The righteousness of God is alive on the inside of us today. He saw that they were given the right to use the name of Jesus over sin, sickness, demons, and fear. And he began to see people doing the same things that Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. That's what you and I are called to do. We are to think like Jesus. We are to walk like Jesus. We are to act like Jesus. We are to talk like Jesus. We are to do the same works that He did. The same works. Same works. With that dunamis power, we have the ability to do those same works. And that's what Satan was seeing. He was seeing in the book of Acts, people doing the very same things that Jesus did. In Acts 3, he saw Peter and John heal the lame man. In Acts 5, he saw the apostles perform many signs, wonders, and miracles. In Acts 6, he saw Stephen, full of faith and power, do great signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 8, he saw Philip perform mighty miracles. In Acts chapter 9, he saw Peter raise the dead. Peter raised the dead exactly the same way Jesus raised the dead. But Peter raised the dead. Death is under our feet. Jesus bore that curse, and it is under our feet. In Acts chapter 19, he saw special miracles done by the hands of Paul. This is what Satan was seeing. This is what he was beholding on that day. But there's something that day that he heard. There's something that went into his ears. He heard a new language of praise and communication as people were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Oh my, he'd never heard anything like that before. How powerful that experience is. How wonderful that experience is. When I was in Massachusetts, after I got saved, I was 19 years old. And I began to go to a church, little Baptist church there. And I was hearing some things about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I wanted to know about that. I wanted to know how that worked and what happened. We did not do that in our little church that we had. And any opportunity that I had to hear anything about it, I wanted to hear about it. One day I was at a retreat, a big retreat in New Jersey for young people. So I went to it. And in the afternoons, that was an open time. They had services in the morning and service at night. And then the afternoons were open because it was right on the coastline of the beach, the boardwalk. You can go down there, you could swim, just have a great time. Or they had workshops in the afternoon at the church that we were all going to. And I noticed that in one of the workshops in the afternoon, it says the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I thought, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I want. So I told the friends that I was with, they said, you're going to go with us to the beach? No, no, I'm going to go to this workshop. And I went to the workshop and I sat there ready and I got so confused, just totally confused, because what they were saying was, well, it may be God's will, it might not be God's will. There was just a big question mark about that experience. So I left that with no answers about being filled with the Holy Spirit until I went to Oral Roberts University. Now, when I went to Oral Roberts University, when I was getting ready to go, it was a Sunday night service that we attended. And after the service was over, all of the young adults that were there, we gathered around the altar. We were talking about where to go eat or have pizza or something after that. But we started talking about me going to ORU. And one of my friends told me, they said, now, you know what they do for registration at ORU? I said, no, what? He said, they line you up at a desk. And when you walk up to the desk, you have to pray in other tongues. I was shocked. I was shocked. And we were all like, have you ever prayed in tongues? No, I don't think so. Have you prayed in tongues? I don't think so. Maybe I did it once, but I was nervous. I was nervous about that. Well, I was relieved. I was relieved the day that I arrived at ORU. And I did walk up to the desk wondering, but they didn't make me pray in other tongues. But I knew that experience was coming. It was going to happen. And it took place on September the 18th, 1975. I had not really started dating Pastor Terry. She was on my sister wing. Instead of sororities at ORU, they have brother-sister wings. So I had been introduced to her. But I was, you got to understand, I was from the Northeast. I was a Yankee. She was a Texan. So it really wasn't working very well for me. because I was doing very New England-ish things. My sense of humor was odd. She was not used to it. Anyway, but she did let our brother Wing know that her dad, Kenneth Copeland, who I never heard of before, was going to be speaking at this church. And she said, we've gotten a bus and we're all going to go over there. So being at ORU, this is September. I was there since August. There's so much to do, so much going on, so many activities happening. I told the Lord, I said, I really need to buckle down and get to work on my studies. Well, I said, I'll go hear Terry's father speak, but that'll be it. That'll be it. I need to get to work. So I went to Sheridan Assembly in Tulsa. Anybody ever hear Sheridan Assembly in Tulsa? Well, Brother Hagin was having a meeting there, and Brother Copeland was the speaker that night. Well, it was so crowded. That church was so crowded when we got there that they had to put all of the students that were coming from ORU in the choir loft right behind the podium. So here's a picture. That's Sheridan Assembly. I took that picture because that night, can you get it big, real big? If you can't, that's okay. I was envisioning like gigantic behind me, but this is for you over here. That was for you over here. But anyway, so they put us up here. They put us, wow. That's strange. All right, follow me closely. Pastor George, who really didn't know Terry Copeland very well at that. Boy, you got me really confused now. Maybe we can shift that a little bit or just make it go away. That'll be fine. Anyway, so that didn't work. Envision a choir. We're back to that one again. All right. So Pastor George is sitting right over here. Pastor Terry is sitting right over there. When they introduced Brother Copeland, stepped up to the podium, they presented him with the Rhema class ring. And he was so excited about that, he turned around, he handed the ring to Terry. Terry looked at it, gave it back to him. And if you were to ask me that night, George, do you realize that that girl sitting right down there is going to be your wife? And you'll have children together. And you'll work for her father for the rest of your life. No, I didn't. That didn't enter my mind. However, one of the things that Brother Copeland said that night, because he was talking about the force of wisdom. The force of wisdom. You want to see a picture of Terry and me back then? Put that picture of Terry and me up there, if you would, please. This is what Terry and I looked like right after we... Oh, there it is. Yep. That was December of that year. Anyway, so there you go. Well, going back to the church, that night, Brother Copeland is preaching on the force of wisdom. The force of wisdom. And one of the things that he said was, one of the most important things that a man or a woman of God can do in prayer is pray in other tongues. I got it. That's it. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. And that night, I went back to my dorm room with my roommate. My roommate had come with me. We took two chairs and we set them across from each other and sat down in those chairs. And I looked at him and I said, you go. He looked at me and said, no, you go. I said, no, you go. He looked at me and he said, you go. And I went. I started praying in other tongues. I don't even think I asked the Holy Spirit to come in. I just started. I just began. I didn't realize that till now. Holy Spirit, sorry about that. But I just got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to pray in other tongues. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose of tongues? Well, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A new prayer language that they never experienced before. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. It's a communication with God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, divine secrets, and heavenly plans. How thankful I am to be able to have a prayer language that I can talk directly to God. And how grateful I am that whenever I need to know the plan of God, Lord, what do you want? What do we need to do? What does the future look like? I can just begin to pray in the Spirit, and I'm praying out mysteries. I'm praying out divine speakings, divine plans, heavenly plans, and I can interpret them. I can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Do you know what? When you pray in tongues, it's like a tenderizer. It's like a meat tenderizer. And it tenderizes your heart. It softens your heart. It gets you over out of the place of the natural into the supernatural, to step on over into the realm of the Spirit. I was praying in tongues this morning. I was praying in the Holy Spirit, praying out this service. Lord, how do you want this to go? And what do you want to do? And how do you want to minister to these people? What do you want to say? And I really believe that as I'm praying in the Spirit, the interpretation comes as I'm standing before you to be able to bring forth words, heavenly words, divine words out of the Spirit. And that is available to you as well. In 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He edifies himself. Edify means to build up and to strengthen. Whenever I reach a place where I need strength, I need inner strength, I go to Jude 20, where it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I will take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how weak I might feel. I know that when I pray in the Spirit, it's like charging a battery. Those cables from heaven are charging my battery. They are building me up. They are strengthening me. And that I'm fit and able to do whatever is before me. To be able to pray in tongues and get strong. Get strong in the Lord. Terry, come on up here if you would, please. And so I do that. I do that whenever I need to be built up, whenever I need to be strengthened. And it also tells us that when you pray in the Spirit, that is the refreshing. That is a refreshing that belongs to us. And it says in Luke 11, verse 11, if a son asked for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You take it from there, Pastor Terry.
If you then, being evil, or those who weren't born again, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
That's right. That's right. Okay, now we need to do that.
Yes.
We need to be filled.
So Jesus said that you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. So what does that mean to us? It means that we have to be born again in order for the Holy Spirit to move in. That takes a recreation work of the Spirit. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, born again, recreated in your inner man in the likeness and the image of Jesus. You are born again as a child of God. So what is being filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit? That is the fullness, receiving the fullness of His earthly ministry.
Yes, yes.
When we're born again, we receive the high priestly ministry of Jesus in our lives as our advocate, as our high priest, and He connects us to the Father, hallelujah, through that sacrifice that He made. But the earthly ministry of the Holy Spirit comes not only within us, but upon us for service. But there is he is the open door to the supernatural.
That's right.
And it begins with the thing that is most critical to us in the realm of the Spirit, and that is our words. And he empowers us to speak words that are divinely inspired, divinely moved, divine unction, where we dip down from our spirit and not our head. And we don't just draw words to heaven out of a head prayer, but it comes out of as a result of our connection with him. So when the Bible said that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak, it was them speaking.
Yeah.
It was them. It was out of their spirit. It was their tongue, their mouth, their words. But it was the Holy Spirit abiding within that empowered them to have utterance, to have those words. And like anything else in the kingdom of God, you have to do it by faith. You have to take a word and move on it. Yeah, your mind says, hey, what is that? I didn't say that. That's not what I thought. That's not what I said. And you just have to say to your mind, well, it's not your turn. It's not your turn. So your tongue can be hooked up to your head, or your tongue can be hooked up to your spirit. And how great it is to have that divine connection.
Yes,
to
is.
By faith hook your tongue up to your spirit, and out of your spirit, man, let the unction of the Holy Spirit take hold and a divine flow. The Bible says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not to men but to God.
Wow.
And to look to God and say, oh, and Lord, Lord, and then 1 Corinthians 14 says, and in tongues you give thanks well. Oh Lord,
yes,
thank and I'm glad. Oh, on that day in the second chapter of Acts, the Bible says that they were making known mysteries, they were making known things about God, but they were also giving thanksgiving and praise to him in a language and an utterance with words that people recognize as bringing glory to God.
Yeah.
It moved them. We don't even know if it was one or both miracles, that they were either speaking in languages that they didn't know. Mm. We know there was some of that. And how much of it was they were speaking in languages and other people heard them in their own language.
Yeah.
I've seen both happen. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Why? Because this is a step over into the supernatural.
Yeah.
Don't bring God down and limit him to natural and say, this only can work in a way I can figure out. Well, let me ask, which one of you can explain the new birth to me? Who can give me the physical, natural explanation for exactly how that happened? Can I see your hand? No. Why? Because we serve a supernatural God.
Yeah.
We can go to the Word and see, but you can't explain it in a natural, human, physical way. But oh, those that walk with God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. And what is his reward? But God himself. That is his reward. So stand to your feet. Every one of us in here today, and those of you watching online, on the network, in any way that you're hooked up with us, and wherever you are today, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
If you're in a living room, a dining room, a car, walking down the street
with little
AirPods in your ears, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is ready there to, first of all, quicken you into the new birth if you never have been. Or to move into your life like he did in the second chapter of Acts, into the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of his ministry to you, that the Father sent him and Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy
That's
Ghost.
Right.
So let's all pray this prayer together. Oh God.
My Father.
I do believe. That Jesus is the Son of God.
I do believe.
That he died for me. Was raised from the dead for me.
I receive that.
Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
I declare Jesus is my Lord.
And Father, I desire.
The fullness. fullness.
The fullness.
Everything you want for me.
Everything you want for
me. I desire the fullness.
I desire the fullness.
What Jesus paid for me.
What Jesus paid for me.
Oh, my Father.
Oh, my Father.
I am asking you.
I am asking you.
For the Holy Spirit.
For the Holy Spirit.
In the fullness of His ministry.
In the fullness of His ministry.
Fill me now.
Fill me now.
To overflowing.
To overflowing.
And I will.
And I will.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Speak with other tongues.
Speak with other tongues.
Because Jesus said.
Because Jesus said.
These signs will follow those that believe.
These signs will follow those that believe.
I do believe.
I do believe.
I do receive.
I do receive.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I am filled.
I am filled.
I yield myself.
I yield myself.
To that supernatural language.
To that supernatural
language. I yield myself.
I yield myself.
To the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
now
name.
Now begin to just speak. You can't speak two languages. Don't speak English. Don't speak any other language. Just yield. Just take a word by faith. Just take a word by faith. Speak it right out.